Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
When she first started giving ghost tours, she expected the hardest part of the job would be remembering all the history. She was wrong. The hardest part was figuring out how seriously to take the people on the tour. Some guests arrived genuinely interested in the city's past and enjoyed the stories whether they believed in ghosts or not. Others showed up determined to have an experience, noticing every cold spot, flickering streetlight, and unexplained noise. She learned quickly not to encourage that, although she never mocked anyone either. She liked the job, liked the history behind the stories, and understood why people were fascinated by places where something tragic had happened. She just didn't believe every unusual sensation meant someone from the other side was trying to make contact. If anything, working as a ghost tour guide made her more skeptical. She had taken the job almost by accident after a friend told her about a small walking tour company that needed another guide. She already worked during the day, but the evening tours paid well enough to make it worthwhile, and she had always been interested in local history. The company provided a binder filled with research on each stop, along with paranormal reports collected by previous guides. There were stories about an old hotel, a former jail, a theater, and several locations where the original buildings no longer existed. She learned the history first and treated the ghost stories as something separate, always telling guests what people claimed to experience without promising that any of it was true. Most nights, nothing happened. There was one stop, though, that bothered her from the beginning. It was an alley behind a row of old commercial buildings near the edge of downtown. One of the buildings had once been a small hotel with rooms upstairs and businesses at street level, and the alley had provided access to a back entrance and staircase that were long gone. According to the tour material, people had reported unusual things there for years. Some heard footsteps behind them when the alley was empty, while others described the sensation that someone was standing very close near the brick wall where the hotel entrance had once been. The most repeated story involved women feeling something touch their hair. Nobody described being grabbed or hurt. Usually it was nothing more than a light touch along the back of the head or the feeling of a few strands being lifted. That story had always struck her as exactly the kind of experience suggestion could create. Tell a group that women sometimes feel someone touching their hair, then stand them in a dark alley waiting for something to happen, and eventually somebody was going to notice a breeze against the back of her neck. Because of that, she developed a habit of waiting until the end of the stop to mention the hair. She would bring everyone into the alley, explain the history, and let them stand there for a few minutes before getting into the paranormal reports. She told herself it made the tour better. In reality, she was curious whether anyone would ever describe the experience without being prompted. For several months, nobody did. People occasionally said the alley felt colder than the street or thought they heard footsteps, but there were usually easy explanations. A restaurant employee came through a nearby door after one supposed footstep experience, and an EMF meter once reacted beside an electrical box filled with wiring. Nothing happened that changed her mind, although she noticed she never particularly liked standing there alone. She blamed that on knowing too much about the location. The surrounding buildings blocked street noise, the brick walls made small sounds seem closer, and once the tour moved on, the uncomfortable feeling disappeared. Then one Saturday evening in early fall, something happened she couldn't dismiss quite as easily. There were 11 guests that night, including a couple visiting from out of town. Neither seemed especially interested in paranormal investigation. They didn't have equipment or spend the tour photographing every dark window. They mostly listened. By the time the group reached the alley, the tour had been going for more than an hour. She led everyone toward the section of brick wall where the old hotel entrance had once been and began explaining the history. She had not yet said anything about the reported activity. The visiting couple happened to be near the back of the group. She was midway through explaining what the hotel had once looked like when the woman suddenly turned around and stepped away from the wall. When the guide asked if everything was all right, the woman seemed embarrassed. She said she thought someone behind her had touched her hair. Nobody had been standing behind her. her boyfriend was beside her, and the closest person was several feet away. The guide immediately started looking for an explanation. There was a slight breeze closer to the street, and the woman's hair was long and loose. A few strands could easily have moved across her neck or caught against her coat. Then she asked exactly what the woman had felt. The woman reached behind her head and demonstrated a light upward movement, as though someone had gently lifted several strands of hair. That was the part the guide didn't like. It was almost exactly how the reports in the tour binder described it. She didn't tell the woman that yet. Instead, she finished the history and moved into the paranormal stories as usual, mentioning the footsteps and the feeling of someone standing nearby before finally explaining that several women over the years had reported having their hair touched or lifted. The woman stared at her. Her boyfriend stopped smiling, and although a few other people laughed nervously, she didn't. She looked back toward the place where she had been standing and admitted that she wished she had known about that before. The guy told her there was a reason she hadn't mentioned it. Nothing else happened that night. The tour continued, the couple thanked her afterward, and eventually everyone went their separate ways. She went home telling herself there were still plenty of explanations. A loose strand of hair, a breeze she hadn't noticed, even the woman brushing against something without realizing it. One strange experience from one guest wasn't enough to prove anything. Still, before the next tour, she made one small change. She waited even longer before telling anyone what women sometimes reported in that alley, because now she wanted to know if it would happen again. For the next several weeks, nothing happened. That actually made her feel better. She continued bringing groups into the alley, giving the history first and saving the reports of hair being touched until the very end. People reacted the way they always had. Some thought the story was creepy, some laughed, and a few immediately began rubbing the backs of their necks as though they suddenly expected something to happen. Nobody described the same experience as the woman from out of town, and eventually the guide began thinking she had made too much of it. One person feeling something strange in a dark alley was hardly remarkable, even if the description had matched the reports in the binder. Then it happened again. This time the group was smaller, and one of the women had spent most of the tour openly admitting that she didn't believe in ghosts. She liked the history, but seemed far more interested in teasing her friends whenever they became nervous than in having an experience herself. At the alley, the guide began the stop exactly as she always did, explaining where the hotel had once stood and pointing out the location of the former back entrance. She had not mentioned any of the paranormal reports when the woman suddenly reached behind her head and turned around. At first, the guide thought she was adjusting her hair. Then the woman asked one of her friends why she had pulled it. Her friend hadn't touched her. The woman laughed, although she sounded less amused now, and insisted she had felt someone lightly tug a section near the back of her head. It hadn't hurt, but it was distinct enough that she assumed one of her friends was messing with her. Neither had been close enough. The guide asked her to show exactly where she had felt it, and once again, the description matched the reports in the tour binder. The woman even demonstrated almost the same lifting motion with her fingers. The guide continued the stop without saying anything. Only after finishing the history did she mention the footsteps, the sensation of someone standing nearby, and finally, the reports of women feeling their hair touched or lifted. The joking stopped immediately. The woman looked at her friends and asked whether either of them had known about that before the tour. They hadn't. Neither had she. That mattered. Afterward, the guide found herself thinking about how easily people influenced one another on ghost tours. Once one guest announced that a room felt cold, three more often agreed. If someone claimed to hear footsteps, everyone started listening for them. But these two women had been on different tours, weeks apart, and neither had known what supposedly happened in the alley. After that, she started keeping notes. She didn't tell the other guides because she didn't want to influence what they noticed. She simply wrote down the date whenever someone reported something unusual, where the person had been standing, and whether the paranormal portion of the story had already been told. Most tours produced nothing. Every now and then, though, someone reacted before hearing the story. A teenager once moved suddenly away from the wall because she thought something had landed in her hair. Another woman stopped while taking a photograph and asked whether someone had walked behind her because she had felt something brush across the back of her head. The experiences were rare enough that the guide found that almost more unsettling. If every woman who entered the alley claimed to feel something, she would have suspected suggestion. Instead, it happened only occasionally and without any obvious pattern. She eventually went back through older tour notes and discovered similar reports had been recorded for years. Several specifically mentioned guests reacting before being told what others had experienced there. There was no neat explanation for who might be responsible. The old hotel had housed countless people, and nothing in its history pointed toward one particular person who could be connected to the phenomenon. She was glad about that. A convenient, tragic story would have made the whole thing easier to turn into folklore. Instead, there were simply repeated accounts of the same strange experience. By then, the alley had become the stop she watched most closely. She noticed where people stood, whether there was wind, and anything that might brush against someone's neck or hair. Whenever a guest reacted, she looked for an ordinary explanation first. Most of the time, she found one. Sometimes, she didn't. Her own discomfort there also became harder to ignore. She had never particularly liked being alone in the alley, and now she often positioned herself closer to the entrance while the group moved farther inside. She told herself it made it easier to watch everyone, although she knew that wasn't the only reason. Still, nothing had ever happened to her personally, and that remained important. She had watched too many guests convince themselves that ordinary things were paranormal. Until she experienced something she couldn't explain for herself, she wasn't willing to decide there was anything unusual about the alley. Then, late one evening, near the end of the tour season, she realized she had left her small notebook behind. She knew exactly where it was. She had set it on a low ledge while answering a guest's question and forgotten to pick it up before the group moved on. The tour was over and everyone had gone home. For a moment, she considered leaving it there until morning, then felt ridiculous. She had walked through that alley dozens of times and knew every doorway, light and uneven section of pavement. So she went back alone. The notebook was still sitting on the ledge. She picked it up, tucked it under her arm, and started toward the street. She had taken only a few steps when something behind her gently lifted a section of her hair. She stopped walking and stood there for a second with the notebook tucked under one arm, trying to understand what she had just felt. It had not been a breeze. She knew what wind felt like in that alley because she had stood there through every kind of weather, and it usually moved loose strands across her face or neck. This had been different. A small section of hair near the back of her head had lifted distinctly, held for just a moment, and then fallen. It was exactly the way several guests had described it. When she turned around, the alley was empty. There was no one near the wall, no doorway open behind her, and nothing hanging low enough to have caught her hair. She walked back toward the spot where it happened and looked around much more carefully than she ever had during a tour, checking for branches, wires, loose pieces of metal, or anything on her clothing that might have reached the back of her head. She even stood still for a while to see if the breeze would do it again, but nothing happened. The entire time, she could hear traffic at the far end of the alley and music coming faintly from one of the nearby businesses. Those ordinary sounds should have made the situation feel less unsettling, but somehow they didn't. She had spent months watching other people react in that exact place, asking where they felt the touch, checking the weather, and looking for anything that might have brushed against them. Now she was doing the same thing to herself, and she wasn't finding an answer. She left the alley much faster than she had entered it. By the time she reached her car, she had already started working through the usual explanations. Maybe the strap of her bag had shifted, or a loose strand had caught against her collar and released. Maybe there had been a brief current of air she simply hadn't noticed. None of those possibilities felt quite right. What bothered her most was that she knew exactly how easily people could misinterpret sensations on a ghost tour. She had spent years becoming very good at recognizing those possibilities. If a guest had described exactly what she had just experienced, She knew the questions she would ask and the explanations she would consider first. The one thing she could not completely rule out was suggestion. She knew the stories and knew women sometimes claimed to have their hair touched in that alley. Her own expectations could have influenced what she felt, but she had also walked through that place dozens of times alone and with groups. She had stood near that wall for hours altogether, often while thinking specifically about those reports, and nothing had ever happened to her before until that night. She didn't tell anyone at the tour company right away. Part of that was embarrassment because she had spent enough time quietly rolling her eyes at guides who seemed eager to turn every personal experience into proof of a haunting. She didn't want to become one of them, and more importantly, she didn't want the story spreading to the other guides or guests. If everyone suddenly knew one of the guides had experienced the same thing, the alley would become even more suggestive. Every breeze would turn into a hand, and every loose strand of hair would become evidence. So she kept it to herself and continued giving tours the same way. At least, she tried to. The next time she led a group into the alley, she noticed how aware she was of the back of her own neck. She hated that and deliberately stood in the same place she usually did, giving the history without rushing, even though she was relieved when the group finally moved on. Nothing happened that night or during the next several tours. Then, a few weeks later, another guest reacted. The woman was standing near the old entrance when she suddenly reached behind her head and looked around. Before the guide could ask anything, she said she thought someone had just moved her hair. The guide asked the same questions she always asked and made sure nobody had been standing close enough to touch the woman. She checked for wind and anything nearby that could have caused the sensation, then finished the history before telling the group what others had reported. The woman's reaction was almost identical to the ones before. That was when the guide finally stopped telling herself her own experience meant nothing. She still didn't know what caused it, and she certainly didn't suddenly believe every ghost story connected to every stop on the tour. She knew people could be influenced by expectation, and she knew ordinary noises or sensations could seem extraordinary in the right setting. But the alley was different for her now. Too many people had described essentially the same thing before knowing what supposedly happened there, and eventually she had experienced it herself. Over time, she became even more careful about how she presented that stop. She never told guests in advance what they might feel, and she resisted the temptation to tell them that it had happened to her. She wanted their reactions to be their own. Most nights, nothing happened, which was exactly what she expected. Every once in a while, though, someone would suddenly turn around or reach for the back of their head before she had said a word about the hair. When that happened, she still checked for wind, loose clothing, nearby people, and anything else that might explain it. Sometimes there was an obvious answer. Sometimes there wasn't. She never became the kind of guide who told people the alley was definitely haunted. She still preferred the history to the ghost stories and still believed skepticism made the tour better. The only difference was that she no longer assumed every strange experience had to be suggestion. There was one place on her route where she had personally felt something lift her hair when nobody was behind her. And after all the time she had spent trying to explain that same experience for other people, she knew how difficult it was to dismiss. She still saves the story about the hair until the end of the stop, and she still doesn't tell the groups what happened to her. She would rather wait and see whether someone else turns around first.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.